Councillor Smith, we're about to start. Councillor Smith, sorry. Welcome everybody to the ordinary meeting of the 19th of December 2024. I'd like to acknowledge the Goombanga people who are the traditional custodians of this land, and I'd also like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present. This meeting is being webcast, and those in attendance should refrain from making any defamatory statements. Are there any apologies?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I have three apologies. One from Councillor Martin Ballengarry, one from Councillor Troy Vance, who has a leave of absence, and from the CFO, Evan Webb, who is ably replaced by Acting CFO Kelly Byrne today. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we move in second then? We don't. The Prayer Minister, Peter Allen, would like to commence proceedings with a prayer. Thank you, Peter.
Different side. Good evening, Mayor, councillors, senior staff, members of the public gallery. My name's Peter Allen. I'm the pastor at Nambucca Baptist Church. I'm here to represent the Ministers Association and open this council meeting with a prayer. Those of you who wish may choose to bow your heads as I pray. Dear wise and loving Father, first let me say thank you. On behalf of all who are gathered here today, we live in a beautiful and precious part of the world. You have placed us here in this place today to make decisions and administer the responsibilities that we each have been given according to our position in council. In the scriptures, you've said that citizens ought to obey the governing authorities, since you have established those very authorities to promote peace and order and justice. And therefore, I pray for our mayor, for the various levels of council officials, and in particular for this assembled council. Lord, I'm asking that you would graciously grant them wisdom to govern, a sense of the welfare and true needs of our people, the ability to work together in harmony even when there is honest disagreement. And at this time of the year, Lord, I pray for a personal peace in their lives and a joy in their task. And at this time, Lord, when the Christmas holiday season is rapidly approaching, the increasing number of visits to our shire puts an enormous strain on the resources of council and the workers who are tasked with maintaining our beaches and outdoor spaces. And Father, I'm asking you to protect them all from harm as they perform their duties. I also pray for the safety of those visiting or passing through our valley. Let there be no road accidents or fatalities here over the holiday season. We want no tragedies in this valley this Christmas season, Lord. And bless the agenda set before council today. Please give an assurance of what would please you and what would benefit those who live and work in and around our beautiful Nambucca Valley. And it's in your most blessed name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Allen. Disclosures of interest.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have one from Councillor Susan Genby, who's disclosed a non-pecuniary, less significant conflict for item 11.1 part 2, referral of the planning proposal, and she will remain in the chamber and participate in discussion and voting if necessary. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I get a mover for the confirmation of the minutes? Thank you, Councillor Simpson. A seconder? Thank you, Councillor McWilliam. Is there any discussion on the minutes of the meeting 28th of November? Everyone happy then? All in favour? No one against? Thank you. Carried. There's a delegation. Notice of motion. 5.1. I'll get a mover in that to bring it forward. Councillor Gendry's moved a notice of motion. We got a seconder. Second, Councillor Smith. We got discussion.
I'd like to it. Thank you. This was an issue at a recent Vala Beach Community Association meeting where members of the public spoke. They're surfers, they're down there every morning and they see dogs at the Thompson Street car park, which is a no-dog zone. And the reason why they're pretty perturbed is that there are endangered shorebirds nesting on that particular part of Deep Creek. And yeah, they'd like to see a bigger sign just specific to no dogs on the beach, just like they have at Shelley Beach. And it clearly has a $330 fine up there, which the sign that there's two signs there at the moment, and they have things like, you know, sharks or no boating or whatever it is. So, and there is a no dog sign on it, but there's a lot of information on that sign, so they'd like a much clearer sign. And I thought it would be good because, you know, it is illegal to have dogs down there at South Vala, but they are down there, and you know, dogs can be, they are predators and they do kill and hurt and scare native animals. And in this case, the shorebirds are pretty bad at building nests, pretty lazy. They're just a little bit of grass in the sand there, and it's easy for dogs to chase them, and then they have anxiety and don't feed the babies, or they're too worked up. And so they've come here specifically to nest and feed up to then take off again. So they're migratory. And it's all along, it's Coffs Coast down to us, so it's an issue there, and it's worth doing something about it. But it's kind of like the norms. What are the social norms for dog owners? Like, dog owners do want their dogs to be able to burn off energy and explore, and so some of those social norms, I'm thinking maybe we should put on the Share the Shore program, which National Parks and Wildlife Services, their rangers will come and talk about the shorebirds and how endangered they are. And I thought council could participate in that and talk about where dogs are and aren't allowed on our beaches. So that's the intent of the motion.
Right. Yes, Councillor Smith.
I'd like to speak in support of the motion, but maybe just make a slight amendment if Councillor Genevieve would permit. Rather than saying considers putting on a share the shore program, is that we write to request that National Parks puts on the share to shore program.
Yeah, that's
more
definitely.
So it's more of a direct and.
If I'd like to be able to speak.
And then I have a. Sorry, Rochelle, do you need more? Then I have a question to the general manager. Do we have a list of all of our parks and dog-friendly parks off-leash, on-leash, so we could have an oversight of where dogs are permitted and how they're permitted in the valley?
Thank you, Councillor Smith. I'll refer that question to Manager Development Environment.
Through the general manager, yes, Councillor Smith, we've got a companion animal policy, which will be coming back to council soon for review, which lists where they are and aren't permitted, and we've summarised that with there's a fact sheet we've got on our website, which basically just gives a simpler description of where they can and can't be walked.
Want to speak in support of the motion from Councillor Genvie and just request that when we review that policy, we review all the whole area, all of our beaches, all of our parks as councillors, and have a good look at where people should be allowed to take their dogs off leash and on leash, and how that interacts with four-wheel drive parks and new dog parks, and just have a bit of a refresher, because clearly dogs are a very big issue in this valley.
Thank you, Councillor. I'd like to talk in support of this motion also, but hopefully add an amendment that it's not only the dogs. I went to a meeting with National Parks and residents at Valla, and one of the other major problems is the people that are driving their vehicles on the beach in the no-go zone, but there's no signage down that end, and we've got birds nesting, and we've also got a turtle hatch area, and each year it gets destroyed. So if we could add something else in there to have other signage for vehicle traffic on the beaches to put an end to where they can go. Therefore, at this stage, if they go on and say, I can't read the sign, our rangers can't do anything, or National Park can't. But if they've got a no-go zone from a certain point, National Parks know where that is, but there's no signage there, they're prepared to put some money towards that. So okay. Whether you could we could change it slightly to put four-wheel drive vehicles also in a no-go zone?
Well, it's North Valley you'd be talking about. Yeah. That's where the four-wheel drives are. So you'd have to, because I'm talking about South Valley.
South Valley.
Inlet of Deep Creek.
Yeah.
For the shorebirds. But, yeah, I think people go through the entry onto the beach and sometimes they go that way, which they're not allowed to do at all. But,
but it needs to be updated signage. National Parks have said that, but they've never been asked.
So what, will we add a third dot point to update signage?
Signage for vehicle traffic on the beach.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Could I ask the General Manager, do we have like the same thing in terms of the dogs and where they can go and what they can do? Do we have the same thing for four-wheel drives and cars and where they can go and what they can do?
Thanks for your question, Councillor Smith. I'll answer in two parts. Yes, we do. And the access to beaches is controlled by an advisory committee of council, which is access committee.
Yeah, that's where it needs to go.
So part two of my answer is, Mr. Mayor, your request doesn't relate to South Valla Beach, which this norm specifically refers to. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to refer that request to the Beaches Access Committee separately, where they can consider that and come back to council with a
recommendation. Yeah, I'd be happy with that. As long as it's noted and we can get some action, because there is a fair bit of damage to the wildlife there. And I've seen it firsthand. Thank you. So if there's no more discussion.
Mr.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Councillor McWilliam.
Just in regards to the education part for community, people doing it obviously aren't behaving by letting their dogs on there, so they're ignoring the signs. I'm just wondering, are those people actually going to show up at a shed to shore program? Is there some other way we can look at marketing it? I mean, you know, whether you do it on the radio or on TV, just to sort of put it out there that these are the restrictions in our council area, in our valley, just for the people that obviously don't care and they're not going to show up to any education programs.
Thank you for your question, Councillor McWilliam.
Yeah.
I agree. It's probably not. I think both Share the Shore program is a valuable educating tool to use. Those that don't care, regulation is generally the tool for that. I'll have a discussion with the Manager of Development Environment around our ranger program and how we might be able to increase both the visibility of the rangers and their activity in this area. So I'd suggest we do both things as part of the program.
Thank you.
Councillor Simpson.
Yeah, I'll just add to the don't care element, because that worries me as well. So just a question to the General Manager. In terms of, I'm also in support of this proposal, but we'll put up signs, we'll have communications. In terms of that regulation component, is there, because we have, my understanding is 1.5 ranges at the moment, so do we have the bandwidth to actually moderate the compliance of this? So I think the intention is really great, but the resourcing of how we ensure that compliance, I'm not sure how we achieve that.
Thank you for your question, Councillor Simpson. We have 2.5 ranges on staff. You're exactly right. Demand for their time is high,
yep.
So it's a matter of priorities. Dogs are generally the highest priority for them, and over recent times, illegal camping, but they certainly are able to do a number of activities at the same time, so it's a matter of considering those resources and how we deploy them.
Just to add to that question, to the GM, on the signs, is there actually a contact number where people can actually ring up to make sure that that compliance is supported? Like, how does the public play a role in that regulation, or is there a role?
I might refer that question to Manager Development Environment.
Through the General Manager, the best way people can get involved is through the Antenna app. They can upload photos of any breaches, and that's just not... dogs is tough because to take action you need microchip details of the person. Vehicles on beach is a bit easier because you can use regos, so photos can help. But getting that insight from the communities used, we pass that on to the rangers so it helps their patrols in terms of timing and frequencies.
Great, thank you.
Councillor Jenry.
Look, it is... trying to make people obey a sign is difficult, and there is compliance. But this council with their dogs down in South Australia... it came through the community because they had a piece of wild land with rare bandicoots on it, and people did like to walk their dogs there, have them off leash, then they'd put them on leash if there was another dog or they felt uncomfortable. So they really interviewed about 87 people about how they felt about their dogs and wildlife, and one of their programs was they gave out bandanas for people to put on their dogs, which says, "I'm a wildlife supporter." So you're trying to encourage like people who value both their dogs and wildlife and would do the right thing with their dogs. So it became a social thing that the dogs had that on. But they did also have a dog park next door to their piece of their wildlife section for people to come to the car park, let the dogs run free in the car park, and then maybe put them on lead if they wanted to walk through the wildlife area. But, I think it was about supporting those people who will do the right thing to maybe set a standard. So in a kind of marketing way of a bandana. But, it's complex. It's those two, how people feel about their dogs and how they want them to run free and for them to be at peace when they're at the beach. But they've got to do the right thing by wildlife as well. So, and that's important to a lot of people. So I don't know how you value that is complex.
Your Honour, with any more discussion, I'll put the notice of motion, 5.1. All in favour? Carried. 5.2. The notice of motion, Vella Urban Growth Area Cultural Heritage. Councillor.
Second that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. She jumped in front of me. Would you like to speak to the motion?
I would. Look, I'd really like to see that council consult, like we're at the beginning of this development and it's a big thing, it's going to go over many years, but that we sit right at the top of our hierarchy, the good consultation with the Indigenous community, and so that, you know, all future development applications for the subdivision of land. They will be consulted. I think that's great for the Indigenous community, but also great for council to be able to do this. And the land that is the Aboriginal reserve and the private freehold, that won't have houses on it. So, it'll still stay in private freehold, but it's not part of the development at Vooga, and that's the most complex land that there is there. So the fact that I'm hoping an interpretation plan has a little wriggle room or depth, that maybe it might encompass some artworks or like the idea of Indigenous road naming and that sort of thing. But perhaps even some input into the tree planting on the streets and things like that. I'm hoping it engages the community and that Indigenous community come to see some of the benefits that might be available to them and to everyone else as this land goes forward, and that we all move together on this. So that's the reason why I'm the motion there, but particularly how important it is to consult with the community.
Yeah, any... Yes, Councillor Smith.
I just have a question for the General Manager. For the Mary Dallas consulting archaeologists, it says prepares an interpretation plan as recommended in the Aboriginal and European Cultural Heritage Assessment that was prepared by Mary. Has the interpretation plan been developed already, or are we to develop it as it was suggested in the heritage assessment?
They're still to develop it. No, it hasn't been developed as yet. And any draft plan would come back to council for approval during the process. Councillor Jenby might confirm, but I think what are in tension here is to underline the importance of that consultation with the Indigenous groups. Obviously it's going to be different for the industrial areas as opposed to the residential areas, but each stage of the subdivision will require a DA, which will have to go out for public consultation. What this recommendation is asking, that we pay particular attention to that Indigenous consultation, which I think is an important part of any development, let alone one that Council's undertaking. I sort of answered a bit more than what your question was there, but...
I'm happy to support this motion. The one thing that I just want to reiterate, and which I think I've done at every council meeting, is the importance of the Aboriginal Advisory Committee and the speed to get that. I know council's working really hard to get something established, but it is a failing of council for the years and years and years that we haven't been able to have that feedback from community. And so just want to reiterate the importance of that advisory group as we work through this, because ideally this would have been a recommendation provided by the advisory group for us to review. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Any further discussion of the motion? All in favour? Carried. Thank you. I'd like to move a delegation and move it forward. If I can get a mover and a seconder. Move Councillor Jones. Seconds Councillor Jenvey. Mr. Raymond Falk. Is that how you pronounce it? Sorry about that.
You got it in mind.
Did I? Yeah. Oh, that's about time.
Not many people
did. Public Officer, Scottsdale Community Group. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and good evening, and thanks to the Mayor and the Councillors for this opportunity to come here and speak on this item on behalf of the Scottsdale Community Group tonight. For the reasons I'll outline briefly in the 5 minutes, we're actually requesting that Council defer the decision on this item, and to allow further consultation with the community group before coming back to Council in early 2025 with a final recommendation. By way of brief background, I know this is in the paper you have before you, Earlier this year, in July, we presented a request to Council to undertake a feasibility assessment of options to create a safe walking and cycling connection between Maxwell and Scott's Head, and that was supported by a petition signed by 978 people, together with letters of support from key local businesses. Now, unfortunately, we've not had any opportunity to have any further discussions or consultation with Council during the desktop assessment of options. And in fact, we only became aware it was on the agenda for tonight after we were approached by ABC Coast Coast earlier this week for comment. Like all modelling and feasibility assessments, the outcomes are driven by the data you put in and the assumptions that you base the assessment on. Now, in our view, the two options that have been considered and costed by Council have been driven by assumptions that have inevitably led to the quite significant numbers that are reported in Council's paper. Now, that includes assumptions such as that the only options are to have a combined pedestrian and cycling option connection that is fully off-road, that completely requires a brand new constructed connection. There's also an assumption of a 40 to 60% cost contingency applies. Now, that immediately doubles the costing of your estimates. And also, there seems to be an assumption that there's no opportunity to stage development of the connection over time as funds become available. And we know with cycleways, that's often the model that needs to be applied. And if you look at the Nambucca to Maxfield cycleway, for example, that took, I think, somewhat in excess of a decade to produce. So it's not a quick fix, and it doesn't need to be a quick fix. The other thing that seemed to be an apparent implied assumption in the assessment was that it was up to Council to fully fund the cost of construction. And we know that's not the case. There are federal and state government funding sources available now, and they'll be more available over time. So look, our view is that the feasibility assessment that Council has completed does require further consideration of some other lower cost options. We have some ideas in mind, and we'd like to, I suppose, take time and a pause to have a discussion with Council over the next couple of months about what those options might look like. For example, one option could be with what's called the Gumma option. Instead of having a completely off-road combined cycling and pedestrian pathway, maybe an option is to only have a cycle pathway that has some targeted off-road works, but also looks to make use of the existing road infrastructure that's already there, but with some better signage, some road markings, and better community education. That would be a less cost option. The other thing that the desktop assessment did not consider in any detail was the actual dollar value that comes to the community from providing safe cycleway and pedestrian connections. And just as one recent example, earlier this year, the state government published a revised economic assessment of the first section of the Northern Rivers Rail Trail. That's a 24-kilometre section up in the Tweed. That assessment shows that that cycle pathway has exceeded expectations from its economic benefits, and it will now likely deliver an additional $114 million in local visitor expenditure to the local economy over a 30-year period. Just to wrap up very quickly, I know you've got a full agenda. The community group's got a great relationship with the council. We're working on a whole range of issues with staff, and we really appreciate the opportunity to do that. What we're asking for is a pause, and not to leap to making a decision now before Christmas. We don't think there's any immediate urgency to make the decision to go no further tonight. We think there is an opportunity just to take a couple of months, re-engage with the community group, explore a couple of other options, and then come back in early 2025 and put a revised paper to Council. So we're not asking that you build the cycleway. We're asking just for a pause to have a bit of further discussion with us. Thank you.
Right, thank you. Any questions? Any discussion from the councillors? Councillor Simpson.
Yeah, I'll just thank you, Ray, for presenting that, and I'm really glad to hear what you've just presented then. I'd just like to also ask the group, because part of the questions I had to Council today was, as you're talking about those alternatives, so I'm really glad you're thinking about those alternatives. Have you also thought about, because a lot of the, say, rail trails, that are used for cycling, because the proposal here is what I'm going to say, almost like the Taj Mahal of cycleways. Can we use bush tracks? You know, think very creatively about the options when you are thinking of it as a group.
Yeah, definitely. And we would definitely support a hybrid mix of options. Like in our minds, I think you describe it as the Taj Mahal, the options on the table, which is essentially a fully constructed concrete pathway off-road. And it's no wonder the costings have come out as they are, but there are other options. And look, to be brutally honest, I wouldn't ride on Scotts Head Road at the moment. I did pass some cyclists on the way out here. But the Gummer options, there are some options to look at there that could be a mix of on-road and off-road, which would come in cheaper and which would potentially be more feasible. So I suppose all we're really asking is that a feasibility assessment looks at perhaps a slightly more comprehensive range of feasible options.
Councillor Smith.
Got a two-parter. The first one is, from every interaction I have with people from Scotts Head, the main concern is tourists. There's too many tourists. They don't respect the space. We don't want more people. It seems like putting in a bike track that will entice more people to come is opposite to what most people in Scotts Head would want. I got to put a question on that one, don't I?
Oh, yeah, sure.
What is the sentiment around the bike track and tourism and how that will work?
Yep. Well, a couple of things. I think it's important to note, and it's noted in your papers, that the petition was supported by 978 people. Population of Scotts Head is around about that. And obviously not every local signed it. It was from people across the valley. And we had a range of businesses supporting that as well, including the Bowling Club, Reflections Holiday Park, Maxwell Country Club. So I don't think it's a case of the community opposes tourism. I think what they're looking for is managed tourism, that's sustainable. What we know is people come, and we're about to enter our busiest season of the year, and we need that for our local businesses. You know, they rely on these sort of peak holiday periods. What we're increasingly seeing, though, is that people are coming, they are bringing their bikes. They have nowhere to go. They're literally doing circles around the village or the caravan park. We are also noticing, and this is anecdotal, I don't have exact numbers, but there is an uptick on people who are braving the roads, particularly Scotts Head Road. Interestingly, there seems to be a growing, that sort of pack of cyclists emerging. And it is risky, but it's also about trying to make sure that when people come here, there are sustainable opportunities that are safe. The other thing we know about cycle paths is it's not just about tourism. Yes, they're the ones that come with hopefully the extra dollars and boost the economy. But cycling and walking is great for the local community. The health benefits are phenomenal. Very clear evidence that drives improved community health and social connection. So it's not just these peak periods, it's the ongoing ability for people to have those recreational opportunities.
The other question that I have, just to confirm something that you said, so since it was decided that a desktop feasibility assessment would take place, that you haven't had any contact from council in regards to the development of what's been proposed?
No,
so,
we haven't had an opportunity to talk about the potential options.
My final one, sorry everybody, is from the community group's perspective, is the importance to get to Maxville, or is the importance to have a bike track? Like, has it been investigated more bike tracks towards down towards Kempsey, or like in a different direction rather than towards Maxville?
Look, I think the primary focus has been on that Maxville connection for a couple of reasons. There is significant community connection in general between Maxville and Scotts Head. There's clearly a tourist demand to have that opportunity. As I said, people bring their bikes but have nowhere to go. The other thing, obviously, is that once you get to Maxville, you then have the potential opportunity to keep going on the existing track to Nambucca, which clearly is becoming quite popular. I've seen lots of people using that and moving back and forward between the two places as a particularly a weekend destination. Fair to say we haven't explored other, going to Kempsey. This is the option that the community brought to us as a group. We looked at it, tested the support in the local area. There seemed to be strong support, and that's why we brought it to council in July.
Any further discussion? Like the general manager, you make a comment on this proposal?
Any questions at this stage?
Any questions? Are they on? Is there any further questions? Thank you. Thank you, Ray. Just before we get the recommendation, I ask you now. I need a move and a second for the recommendation.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move that we defer for 3 months to allow for conversation with the community group.
Second that. We've got a second that, Councillor Jenry.
Can I just ask the General Manager, we've got Christmas, New Year, is 3 months appropriate? There's a month going to be gone anyway, so.
Thank you for Councillor Jones. Not all councillors, but some councillors will recall that there is no budget to do a feasibility study, so council asked for a desktop study, which normally doesn't include that level of consultation. It's purely a conceptual desktop study to get a handle on the size of the scale that you're talking. So my staff have delivered what council asked them to. What is coming out now from the Speaker and from Council is that they'd like to look at other options other than this particular one that we were asked to proceed with, which I'm comfortable to do, but that will take additional staff time, and I think 3 months is probably an appropriate time to do that.
Maybe could I ask that we defer and that the council report back on said options?
Yes, that'd be acceptable.
I'll do that. So, Mr. Mayor, if I could, I'll change that. And I think the minute secretary has captured that.
Mm-hmm.
It's different options, I think. Thank you.
Put in there anything about the deferral date? Just defer.
I clarify, Councillor, you're just saying defer without a specific date?
Well, like this time of year, I'm particularly sensitive this time of year, pressure and blah, blah. So, I'm happy with that. I mean, can we have within that the consultation with the committee and with the Speaker, and would you think that would cover that, or do I need to specifically mention that? Or?
No, I'm getting a strong sense that Council want us to consult with that group, so I'm happy to do that as part of the think tank, if you like, on what options we've got going forward.
I'm happy to speak to that if I can get it. Oh, I've got a seconder. Can I speak now, Mr. Mayor?
You can speak to the manager.
Yeah, well, it's just interesting, you know, we've all go to different towns, and I was back in Bendigo recently, and Bendigo have got an extensive cycling and footpath. And one of the things that struck me, I was right up on the south side, and I do go for a shuffle in the morning, and I started on what was just a gravelly start, and then it became a rough bitumen, and then it became the Taj Mahal concrete in the CBD, and I was... And I think that's maybe what the Speaker's saying, that you could have this sort of mixture depending on the terrain and the environment around it. So, and a lot of these things, yeah, they take a long time to achieve, but I think the vision and the budgetary constraints, but we could work over this over a period of time with the budgets appropriately and state and government funding. So, be with that.
Any other further discussion? Councillor Jenry.
Yeah, just a question through to the General Manager. Are we able to have that sort of on-road and off-road, or is there any legislation around how we build active transport? We have it going through a bit of forested ground just with dirt and gravel somewhere else?
There is, off the top of my head, thank you for your question, Councillor Jenry. There are guidelines around on-road cycleways and not sure about on-road pedestrians. But off the top of my head, I don't know the detail. That would form part of looking at those options.
Yep. And just speaking to the motion, if it did look at going perhaps through Gumma, look, people want to ride not so much on a busy road or the main road, but if there's a river or if there's a bit of forest or, you know, or a back street or something like that. Like that's, I know from when I've looked at active transport, and I'm see a lot of it in Brisbane when I go up there in suburban back streets. They're not on the main roads. They're, you know, because riders want a peaceful time riding as well. So maybe that Gumma option might be interesting. And you know, if this took 10 or 15 years to build, and it was your report came back with segments of it, and we start with something, I'd be interested in it because, I just think this is the way to go. It's a very popular thing for people to do. So, and those health benefits are amazing. So, I'm interested in the hybrid mix of options and a different track, and whether we have any council things or whatever, and can those costs come down in different ways as to how this might be all feasible over a long period of time to pull off. So yes, that's why I'm interested in deferring and seeing if we can come back with different options to do this. I get it if it's going to be $50 million and it's not possible, but at this stage, just more information. Yeah.
All right, thank you, Councillor. Councillor Smith.
Councillor Jones would permit. I would like to just add a little bit on, just to give some parameters also when in consultation with the community group, that we don't come back with seven different options and, you know, going through every single thing just to limit it to potentially two different options with the intent of minimising costs. I think just for transparency, to me, the cost of the project, if this was our only option, I wouldn't be supporting it. So the reducing the cost of it is probably the key, not so much about shared funding, but, you know, as much as it comes from federal and state, and it's still taxpayer money and we need to be considerate. That council defer and report back on two different options with the intent to minimise the cost of the project.
Are you happy to...
Yeah, I'm happy with that if the second is happy. I mean, the community, I think, have identified the Gumma option, and I think that's... There might be a couple of little twists and turns there, but I think it's pretty logical sort of path.
So you're...
Would we... Also, the idea of partnerships or some of that funding would be interesting to see in the report.
We mightn't be up to that bit yet, Councillor. I think we'd get the momentum going and come up with some credible ideas of how to do it, and then the funding options, I think, will be addressed by Council.
The report will not mention it anyway. It's what staff do, so, yeah. But, so I spoke to somebody today from Scott's Head, and they had a one-page thing on 100% funding from the government. So whether that is, they're more favourable with cash from council or something's another thing. So,
There's all options for these sorts of projects, but we'd have to find out what we're actually going to plan first, to get a costing and see who would like to join in a partnership with it. But the main part here is the intent to minimise the cost of the project and to defer it until we get back. Yes, Councillor Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a quick question on that regard, and I know this is jumping ahead, but I had thought about this question had we gone forward. Can we get some sort of idea on how the funding was achieved for the Maxville-Nambucca Heads pathway, and is there any comparisons there? Because obviously we were able to achieve that.
Thank you for your two questions, Councillor Simpson. First, and I'll turn slightly just to get acknowledgement that I get this right, the 5 kilometre section, I think it was, 4 kilometre section that we've recently completed at a cost of $2.5 million along Ginningay Way. Cost council $73,000 because it was 100% funded by Transport for New South Wales in the main, because Guinegay Way is a state road. That is not the case in either Gummer Road or Scott's Head Road. So we won't have the luxury of 100% funding. As the Speaker indicated, that took 10 years of stages to complete it, and that was at no cost to council. Oh, sorry, a very minor cost to council, where we topped up some final tweaks to the project that weren't funded. But overall, in a $5 million project, it cost council $73,000. It's unlikely that we would be able to do that on a off-road cycleway that is not in the corridor of a state road.
Thank you.
Right, thank you. Any further discussion? Put the motion. All in favour? Carried. Thank you. There's no questions with notice, and there's no questions for closed meeting. General Manager's report.
Can you move that, Mr. Mayor?
Thank you. Seconder, Councillor Simpson. Any questions? There's no questions for the. Oh, was that a hand up, Councillor Smith?
Yeah.
You do have a question?
It's not so much a question. It's more a request. On item 24, the Gordon Park Splash Park Water Project. It says that they're reviewing the locations, which is the Bellwood and the Gordon Park locations. And I'd just like to ask the General Manager, sorry, I could have done this outside of this meeting, but we're here, that we arrange a site visit to the locations as well for the councillors to see.
Thank you for your question, Councillor Smith. I haven't received any further advice on this one, so I'm unsure as to. Have you say yes, we can accommodate that, but it may be the case that there's no point because there's no budget. At the moment, the Gordon Park Splash Pad is on hold pending additional funding for, I'll call it stage two, but completion of the entire works. We'll look at the locations separate to that. I guess when we report back to council, that'll be the stage that if we intend to look further afield, then we'll organise a site meeting after that.
Yes, Councillor.
Very quickly on the back of that question, is there a potential date you may get some feedback to the General Manager? It's an open-ended sort of comment in the status until location report. Is there any idea?
No, I'll refer that question to the Director of Engineering Services.
Thank you, and through the General Manager, we're hoping to bring something back early in the new year because the funding that we do have has to be spent by June 30, 2025. So we obviously need to tie down the location pretty quickly, so we need to come back to council to close out that report about, and then we can confirm the location, and then we can find the extra money that we need to finish it.
We're going to move on. I'm going to move. Can I get that moved? Can we move on to 9.2? Can we just move on to 9.2? Are there any other questions on any other items?
I've got one to the General Manager, if that's okay. It's just a short one about point 15. With the community notice board, was there any advancement on looking into that?
Our short answer is no. We haven't done any work on that one.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions on outstanding actions or the General Manager's report? No further questions? The Council note the list of outstanding actions. We have a mover and a second. All in favour? Carried. 9.2. A mover and a second. Councillor Genvey seconded. Councillor Angel. We have questions? Discussion?
We just...
Councillor Genvey. No.
Sorry, thank you. We're just noting the contents of the report, but we are changing an original approval with the Department of Planning. Are they? It will require confirmation. Is there to the General Manager? Is there a likelihood that this will raise an eyebrow, or because we're changing, we want leases 1 and 2 separated?
Thank you for your question, Councillor Jimmy. No, we're not expecting any raised eyebrows with the department. It does create extra work for us because you're dealing with two separate parcels. So, as you know, the former lease was a head lease with a sublease to the boat shed operator. Both the head lessee and the boat shed operator have agreed that it would be better to go forward with separate leases.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially you have two head leases on the different lots. That's how we're proceeding. That's slightly different to what council resolved to do previously, because previously that was the intent for us to continue with that head lease. So this is simply asking council to be aware or acknowledge that there's a slight change to the lessee proposal. There's still a long way to go through the Crown Lands and the steps that we have to go through with them to get those separate leases sorted out. I might just ask for a nod from a member of staff in the gallery. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Yep. Any further? Yes, Councillor Smith.
I just have a question. I know the RSL car park has been a topic of contention for a while. In terms of splitting the lease, does it have any impact to the management of the car park, the upkeep of the car park, and the cost involved in that?
This is a question to the GM.
General Manager, sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Councillor Smith. No, it won't. Either or, whichever way it happens, the management and maintenance of the car park, I guess, is a separate issue which still needs to be done. The intent is to put the money from the lease into a fund to replace or maintain the car parks over time. There's also the boat ramp in the middle, there's pedestrian access, there's a whole range of public facilities there that require maintenance. So any revenue that council get should be set aside to maintain those facilities.
Councillor Jones.
Sorry,
Councillor Jones.
No,
that's all right.
So in regards to the maintenance of the building itself, do we know the condition of the property at the moment? Is there going to be an expense to council? I'm assuming we'll be responsible for the outsides or the painting in the same ways of a commercial lease. Am I not making sense?
It was the very question I was going to ask. Could I ask the General Manager
we're talking about to
broaden that?
Excuse me, councillors, we're talking about the Crown Land Reserve splitting the lot two, the two parts to split.
The ramifications could be, Mr. Mayor, that if I could ask the General Manager, if we become the lessor, the lessor of the boat shed, and it's discovered that the building has been eaten by termites and has to be replaced, it is my understanding that particular part of the lessor-leasee agreement, that the lessor would have to place infrastructure. The painting on the outside and the table and chairs are the business of the owner of the property, as is the goodwill. But the actual infrastructure and the building becomes very 100%, in my understanding, probably people know greater than me, that cost would fall on to the council.
We are already the head lessor of the land. The building itself, I'd have to take that part of the question on notice. But either way, it wouldn't change our responsibility as the head lessor. There's no mechanism that I'm aware of in the lease for that fall on the RSL club.
Okay, well, as long as that's considered, and maybe you might get a little comment from someone who probably does know, because I'm not 100% sure, but that, I mean, the question I'm asking myself is, why does the owner and the RSL suddenly want to split this, you know, like, and I don't expect you to answer that.
I mean, I'm not going to answer that, because the owner is sitting in the gallery, and it's a sensitive issue between the two lessees. We're trying to accommodate both, and both have agreed that this is a pathway forward. The reason it's come to council is because previously they've resolved to do a head lease, so we need council to acknowledge the slight change in the way we're managing it as the Crown Land Manager. So certainly I expect any resolution or any finality of this process would come back to council. I'm getting a nod, yes. So there'll be another opportunity to inform yourselves and resolve how to proceed.
Understand it's a delicate issue. It's probably something we might have a dot point in closed at some stage where we can have a robust conversation.
If it requires commercial in confidence, then we'll put it in closed session.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? I put the motion that the council note the contents of the report. All in favour? Thank you. Carried. There's a late report, 9.3, minutes of the National Celebration Day Committee. You can move in a seconder to deal with that. Thank you, Councillor McWilliam. Moving it, the seconder.
Second.
Thank you, Councillor Angel. They're the minutes of the Celebration Day Advisory Committee held on the 21st of November meeting and the 16th of December. Are there any questions?
Just a comment.
Yes.
And not a question. I think it's okay to have a ceremony that recognises some of those leaders in our community and the good work that they do. And if we haven't got an event this year, that's okay. Maybe you could publicise sometimes. I mean, is there an Indigenous morning daybreak ceremony that Uncle Miklo does or something? Might be at Yurunga, but it's not the end of the world, and something to work to the following year.
Speaking for the motion.
Yeah, I'm speaking that we accept the minutes, yes.
Any other discussion? I'll put the motion to accept the minutes of the Australia Day Committee. All in favour? Carried. Number 10. Move and second to accept the Director of Corporate Services reports. Mover?
10.1, I'll move, Mr. Mayor.
10.1, thank you very much, Councillor Angel, a seconder. Councillor Smith. Discussion? Councillor Genvey.
One complaint from the community throughout the year is very good.
think it's great.
It's excellent.
Any other further?
I mean, we haven't had councillor against councillor or anything like that. So actually quite a good achievement.
I'll put the motion. Is there any further discussion? I'll put the motion to move in a second for 10.1. All in favour? Carried. I move in a second for 10.2. Councillor Smith is moving that, and Councillor McWilliam second. Discussion? You've got the nomination for Council 355 committees in front of you. Seen all the nominations? Any discussion? Put the motion. All in favour? Carried. Manager Development Environment Reports. Mover for 11.1. Councillor Simpson, a seconder. Councillor Jones, referral planning proposal of the Minister. Go through you, General Manager, for the Manager of Development.
Yep.
General Manager, would you like to address that 11.1?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I might refer that to the Manager Development Environment. When you say address, do you just want an overview?
Yes, if that's right.
Can you refer that to Manager Development Environment?
Through the General Manager, councillors, the first recommendation stems from a response I received from the Department of Planning about the Kookaburra Lane planning proposal, which was to reduce the minimum lot size. Their interpretation, how to make this short and sweet, there's one section in the Act that enables LEP to be amended. The recommendation and what council resolved was to amend the LEP in accordance with that section of the Act. Under that section of the Act, only council or the minister can amend the LEP. Council can only do it when it's the plan making authority. So the resolution was that council make the LEP under that section. The reason it was worded that way is because it's only one section, and in order to make it that council would refer it to the Department of Planning, which was explained in the report. The Department of Planning's concern is that the resolution doesn't authorise staff to refer it to them because it says council make the LEP. So I haven't had feedback in terms of the second planning proposal yet, the horticulture planning proposal, but it's just to get clarity. I'll try to do it with a straight face. Clarity of that's what council's intention was. The second point is about the Kookaburra Lane planning proposal. You recall there was an objection from the Biodiversity Conservation Science branch of the Department of Planning. One of their concerns they raised was that the proposal was just to minimise the lot size to enable them to subdivide both sides of that unformed road, keep the land as is, two existing dwellings. They wanted the site rezoned from current rural landscape to a conservation zone. It wasn't part of the planning proposal because there's no changes, but the justification was because it's part of a broader area that's recognised to have threatened species. Previously it was put to council to go down that path because it should be done as more broad scale rezoning rather than a site specific. The Department of Planning gave advice to strongly consider going down that path. In consultation with the applicant, it's not an issue for them. It doesn't actually impact what they're doing. It just looks odd on a zoning map. So to enable things to proceed smoother and easier, it was just a flag that council acknowledge or permit that rezoning if need be to enable it to move forward.
Any further discussion? Councillors, as it's a planning decision, I'd ask those in favour of the proposal to stand. And as it's unanimous, I'd still have to call your names. Councillor Genvey, Councillor McWilliam, Councillor Simpson, Councillor Jones, Councillor Smith, Councillor Angel and Councillor Lee. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. Carried. 11.2.
Happy to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Jones, seconder. Councillor Smith. Any questions? Yes, Councillor Smith.
It's not so much a question, apologies, it's another statement. Look, I've been meaning to just acknowledge the work that's been done by Council for the management of especially dogs in this area. It's clear that the community is noticing, especially with the pound management and the release of the dogs, and the way that's been, you've been working with the community on that is really impressive. So I just wanted to officially say well done, good work.
Thank you, Councillor. That'll be recorded. Any other comments? The motion? All in favour? Carried.
Questions?
No, or statement? Okay, the 2024 November approval certificates. A mover and a seconder to bring this up. Councillor Angel. Councillor McWilliam. Any discussion? No discussion? I'll put the motion. All in favour? Against? Carried. 12.2. A mover and a seconder to bring this forward to or discuss it. Councillor Simpson. Seconded by Councillor Genvey. Clean Energy Committee, the discussions? Any discussions? Yes, Councillor Genvey.
Yeah, just to note what went on at the meeting very briefly, that some of the net zero targets and interim targets await the outcome of the community strategic plan, and committee's looking at opportunities to improve reuse by way of circular economy, and we're waiting a response from the grant body over EV charging stations. And I don't know, maybe we could just look across the road in that peak holiday time, and if there's a whole lot of Teslas lined up waiting to charge, we should take a photo. Those were my thoughts. Send it off if we don't hear anything. That's just basically the outcome of the minutes.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor Simpson.
Yeah, and I'd just also like to comment that we also identified that we need to reach out to other members of community that have expertise that will actually help us address the renewed vision of the Clean Energy Committee, thinking about the circular economy, etc. So we do have a lot of expertise in the Valley that we are keen to leverage off.
Thank you. Further discussion? I'll put the motion. All in favour? Carried. Move into closed.
On the late agenda. Yep.
Got a move and a second. I have to move into closed meeting. Move, Councillor McWilliam. Seconded, Councillor Simpson. All in favour to move into closed business? Thank you. Carried. Thank you, members of the public. We're going to move into closed meeting, and then quite welcome to wait until we open it up again and return. Thank you very much. I'd get a move. Councillor Angel and Councillor Genvey have moved this motion. Thank you. That I'd refer to the General Manager for his report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In confidential business, in closed meeting, Item 13.1, Council resolved under the motion of Angel and Genby that Council note the information concerning incidents where there is a realised or potential loss of funds and or reputation. In item 13.2, on the motion of Genby and Smith, Councillors Genby and Councillor Smith, item 13.2, water leak application for water account 11188785, Council resolved to write off the water usage charges of $9,745.96 for account number 11188785. Now, item 13.3, the refurbishment of the V-wall amenity block in near Bucker Heads was resolved on the motions of Councillor Smith and Councillor McWilliam that Council 1 awards the tender T72024 near Buckhead's refurbishment of the V-wall amenity block to Van Marl Group Construction Pty Ltd for the contract sum of $384,050.69 inclusive of GST, and 2, that Council updates the contract register. In item 13.4, quest for tender for sewage rehabilitation and maintenance program, Council resolved on the motion of Councillor Angel and Councillor McWilliam that Council 1 accepts all tenders for RFT 2001729, Sewer Rehabilitation and Maintenance Program. 2, delegates to the General Manager the authority to sign a 2-year extension to RFT 2001729 based on the satisfactory performance of the supplier. And 3, updates the contract register. Item 13.5, the agreement for the transfer of land for the purposes of road realignment. Council resolved on the motion of Councillor Simpson and Councillor McWilliam that Council approves the agreement made with the property owners for the acquisition and disposal of portions of land at 562/600 Scotshead Road, Wayway, identified on the survey plan annexed to that agreement. And 13.6, excuse me. Confirmation of the minutes, National Celebration Day Advisory Committee, 16th of December 2024. That Council resolved on the motion of Councillor Angel and Councillor Smith that Council approves the selected award recipients for the 2025 National Celebration Day Award categories within item 4.4 of the 16th December 2024 National Celebration Day Advisory Committee minutes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, General Manager. There being no further general business, I declare the meeting closed at 7:12 p.m. And I would like to wish everyone here present a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year, and we'd like to see you back in 2025. Thank you very much for your attendance.